the Bible is an extract, at least from the Bible, is offered to you without charge, cost, or obligation to you. Yours to do with as you will. But maybe, perhaps, were you to engage in such a practice, you would be mildly, perhaps maybe even greatly, surprised. Not at all about instituted religion, but rather about a person as well as displayed before you here this afternoon. Christ, a person, Jesus, the Son of God. It's about a person, you see, one who loved you. And of course, what he did, he died not because he had transgressed God's law, but because you have. He died, and of course, it tells us who he died for: the ungodly, those who are contrary, that is, to God in their hearts, in their lives, in the entirety of their beings. Good news, gospel, it's what the word means, and it's offered to you to read for yourself, to see, check out, see that these things indeed are so, that you might benefit, that your soul might benefit somewhat from the practice. But in the Bible, you can read these words for yourself if you would, where God says that if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword, he has bent and readied his bow. Turn or you'll burn is the way that one ancient preacher put it. The threat, of course, of God's justice system is a reality. There may have been times past when the church has been a little bit over the top in its proclamation of God's justice, terrifying people, terrorizing them, maybe perhaps. But of course, the trouble is now that we've gone the opposite direction. Everything's lovey-dovey. And if you don't tell people that God is love, then, well, woe betide you, whether you be a church or a preacher. And of course, well, the fact is, Bible fact is, that God indeed is love, states that very clearly. And then it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So that God is love, unquestionable, undoubted. But of course, that's only one aspect of the being and character of God. More to it than that. He's a God of justice, holiness, righteousness, and of course, well, he requires the same of you and I. So, when we declare the justice of God, it's not in order to terrify you. It may terrify you. I hope it does. It ought to do. But I don't declare it for that reason, to terrify you or to bully you into becoming a Christian or anything else. No, the Bible, you see, it reveals this truth that God himself has revealed and requires us all to know, that he's a God of justice and that he will judge the ungodly, and that the wicked will indeed be turned into hell. That is, those who do not repent. God will whet his sword, he says, turn or else you'll burn. Repent, you see. Change, not just your ways, heart, life, everything about your being and character has to be altered. You need to become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You must needs be born again, you see, to avoid this judgment of God. As one vicar once put it, he said, if you're not born again, the day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. But of course, very few speak the truth today. Well, in these ways, in this effeminate society in which you live, you also have an effeminate church too. You can attend, I dare say, the majority of your churches in Stafford, and well, they'll comfort you emotionally, they might feed you, they'll entertain you, singing and dancing, but they won't tell you this truth about the justice of God and how it is that you need to flee from it. Flee from the wrath to come is how the Bible terms it. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, he says, you will burn. But of course, Jesus tells us, just as it was in the days of Noah, unbelieving, degenerate, decadent society and world, he says, so it will be when the Son of Man returns, that is to judge the world in righteousness. So I bid you this afternoon to repent and believe the gospel just as Jesus does and tells you why. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The only place of safety from the wrath and the justice of God. But you see, well, what is the nature of this turning? Repentance, change is what it's about, of course. Of course, many of you would rather that I flattered you and tell you what good people you are, nice people, and God couldn't possibly have anything against you. You see, we love the lie rather than the truth. You know, coming to the election business, I noticed a headline in one of the papers the other day. A journalist, he says, I guess, he says, UKIP are telling us the truth and the other parties are lying through their teeth, as they do. But, he says, in other words, one, he says, he knows telling the truth, but he's not going to vote for them. He's going to vote for the liars. Because we all love the lie, you see. You love the flattering lips. And you would rather that I flattered you, told you lies, rather than the truth. But I won't do that. I cannot do that. I must tell you the truth. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you will burn. That's the truth. God requires of you this change. So if a man does not repent, you see, his doom is a certainty, according to the Bible, at least anyway. Practical repentance is what's required. You know, both your thinking and your actions, your behavior too. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, you know? The way that you think is right, but God says leads to death, you know? Way that seems right to a man, but the end of it, God says, is death. And not just physical death, because that comes to us all, but eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. That's what hell is. So you see, people, a change of mind, of thinking, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's the unrighteous thinking, you see, that leads to unrighteous behavior. If you are to think right, think God's thoughts, think as God has revealed in the Bible that you should, then your actions too, they would be righteous. Moral principles, that's what we mean by righteousness. So you see, unless there's this change, this turning, this repentance, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you will burn. Of course, it's not the promise of doing so. Many of you, of course, you promise loved ones, relatives, I won't do the thing again. I won't go there again. It won't happen again, I promise you. But you know fine and well it will, because you don't mean the words. It never happens. And so, in this business of repenting, you see, many people, well, they think to themselves, maybe delude themselves, and say, well, yes, I promise I will repent, but it never actually happens. Through an actual forsaking, abandoning of your sin and your sinful ways. A real turn to righteousness, an embracing of moral principles. That's what's meant when God demands that you should repent, that you should turn. Not an apology. I heard a man who professed religion the other week, and he had been caught. He's a serial adulterer. For 20 years he had been committing adultery, and of course when he was found out, he held his hands up and he said, well, he said, every time I did it, I repented. Well, that's not real repentance. That's not true repentance. Just simply saying you're sorry because you've been found out. Actually turning from your unrighteous ways and thinking and turning to God with no thought of returning to the same. Because if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you will burn. But of course, it's an entire forsaking sin in its entirety. Not clinging to, you know, your favorite, your darling lust, you know, and the one that you won't let go. All must go. Indulgence in one single lust is enough to sink a man down into the depths of hell. In the very least of sins, tiniest of sins, well, in your estimation at least anyway, is full of venom, poison. If you don't forsake all, Jesus says in another place, if you don't forsake all, even your own life, that is your vomit-filled life, if you don't forsake it, then you cannot be my disciple. So it's an entire forsaking, abandoning of sin and sin's ways. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you will burn. And of course, well, it's an immediate call. It's not next week, it's not tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. Immediately, right this moment, as you hear the call from God, He demands of you that you should turn. Some people, of course, delude themselves with the thought that on their deathbed, should you ever have such, that is, if you're not taken violently in a moment, in a nanosecond out of this world, you picture yourselves on your deathbed, and well, then, of course, you'll give some thought to this, and perhaps maybe, well, then you'll change. Well, do you think for a moment that you could change your nature at a time such as that? God poses the question. He says, how can you, who are accustomed, habitually accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? Do you think you would change your spots then at such a time as that? It very seldomly happens. Today, says God, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as many, many people have done in the past. No, here, hearken diligently to what God says. You might not be given another day. It might be that this is the last time that you ever hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus. I was preaching in a church just a couple of months ago, and I bade the congregation consider the question of Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? And that very night, a member of the congregation went home and died very unexpectedly. Whether he was a Christian or not, whether he had repented or not, I don't know. But you don't know either if this maybe perhaps is your very last day on planet Earth. So, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you will burn. It's quite simple. It's put very bluntly, but I think to myself, that's what this generation needs today, to be spoken to in plain, simple, and blunt terms. You're too acquainted with all the spin and all the tripe that men speak in these days, in high places and low places alike. But it's a hard business, is this repentance, this turning. You know, it's not saying that you'll do the thing, you know, with a wink of the eye. God is not mocked. He sees, He knows your heart, your thinking, your thoughts even before you think them. Repentance, you see, is a heart matter, a heart business. Root and shoot. The root, the heart is the root of the matter. That's where the repentance must take place. You see, we've come to that time of the year when we're mowing the lawn again. And you mow the lawn and it's all beautiful and green. And you come out the next day, and there's the dandelions and the daisies popping up already, because you didn't take them out by the root, you just cut the heads off. Well, it's no good just cutting the head off your sin. You've got to get to the root of the matter, the heart, which is deceitful and desperately wicked, says God. That's where the repentance must take place, or else you'll just, like the dog, return to the vomit of your sin. So that's the nature, you see, of this turning, this change, this repentance of which God requires of you. If a man does not repent, he says, God will whet his sword. If you do not turn, you will burn. But the necessity, you say. It's a necessary business, is this. You know, like the surgeon, sometimes he may not feel like it, but he has to plunge his knife into the patient. Because maybe perhaps he's dealing with a child and he thinks to himself, this is awful, I've got to plunge my knife into this child or else it will die. Well, people, if you don't take the knife to your sins, you see, you will most certainly die, because that's sin's wages, and unless they're repented of, you will most certainly die. Jesus talks about plucking out the eye, the offense, the one, you know, that lusts after the opposite sex. Pluck the eye out, says Jesus, not physically. He's talking about the same thing, repentance. The hand that offends, that goes into the till and takes out what doesn't belong to it. Cut it off, says Jesus. Better you go into heaven with your eyesight impaired or disabled. That's better, he says, than having both hands and both eyes and going to hell. If you don't turn, you see, you will burn. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. But then some people, of course, they delude themselves with the idea that, well, God is a God of love and he wouldn't punish sin. Well, a God who is not just, who has no justice, I would suggest to you that's an impossibility. He would be no God at all. All love and no justice, of course, that's what everybody wants to hear today. Pat in the back, pat in the head, you're okay, you're good to go, you're a cool dude, and God could not possibly have anything against you. Nice, clean, respectable, don't do the drugs, don't do the dirty, and you're okay. That's what the most people tell me, at least anyway, I wish that they were. To take the justice away from God is to un-God God. He would no longer be God. But rest assured, he does punish sin. He's not like the effeminate government that rules over you in these days, that pampers, you know, and counsels the criminal and punishes those who have been criminalized. That's effeminate government. God's government is not like that. He does punish the wicked, believe me. The wicked, he says, will be turned into hell. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. Turn or you'll burn. And of course, there's no salvation unless you do. I mean, that would fly in the face of, well, everything that's written in the Bible. Your first parents, Adam and Eve, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden because they brought sin into the world. And then there was the flood in Noah's day because of the wicked degeneracy of that generation, just like this one. They perished in the flood. God punished them for their wickedness, you see. And then God's own people were sent into exile because of their idolatry. Has God changed? He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, he hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. No salvation without repentance. There was a time, we're told in the Bible, when a tower fell. It's the ancient version of 9/11. And people perished when the tower fell. And Jesus was asked the question, were they more wicked than other sinners? No, he said. Unless you repent, he says, you will all likewise perish. So, if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you'll burn. But then your conscience tells you, I am right. doesn't it? If you haven't seared it, conscience has a loud voice, doesn't it? It's a screamer, isn't it? Louder voice than mine. Amplification. You can't shut it up once it kicks in. Your conscience, I mean. Huh? And when it comes to a crisis, serious crisis, what's the first words out your mouth? God, help me. You know, the one that doesn't exist. Huh? Even Dawkins cried that, eh? You see, because just like you, he believes in his heart, he knows that God is, in spite of all that he says. I was communicating with an atheist gentleman the other night. He said to me, evidence, evidence, give me evidence. I said, no, you've got all the evidence you need. It's all around you. It's in your face, man. Raise the white flag. Surrender. Submit to God. That's what you need, because you know that God is. He has showed it to you. You know that he is. And your conscience, of course, well, when it comes to your dying time, you'll believe in hell then. Believe me, you will. Oh, you will. You'll believe in it then, I tell you. So if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, yes, you will burn. But the means of this turning, you see, the trouble is you can't do it yourself, because you see, you're so utterly set upon in love with sin. That's why you hate what I'm saying and doing, the sight of me, the remembrance of these things. You are so utterly set upon and in love with sin, you see. You don't want to hear this. Stop the ears, you know. Cover the eyes. Don't want to hear, see, no. You can't do it yourself. It's not in your power to repent of yourself. So you say, well, what on earth are you telling us to repent for if we can't do it ourselves? Well, here's the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. He was raised from the dead, exalted back into heaven in order to give repentance to sinners. So you see, what I'm saying to you is, if you can feel your sin, have a sense of your guilt, then ask him to give you the repentance that you need. Because you see, it's a gift from God. You got a heart like a stone? Of course you have. Ask him to give you a heart of flesh. You got a heart like a block of ice? Of course you have. Ask him to melt it. Ask him. Raise the white flag. Surrender, submission, Jesus. I need to repent, but I cannot. Help me. Go home, if you will, and shut yourself in your room. Nail the door shut if you have to, and get down on your knees and cry out to him, asking him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And don't get off your knees until you know that you have his mercy. Cry out to him and give him no rest until he comes. Sit down, and instead of counting your money and your beads, count your sins. Bring them all to mind. Every single one that you can think of. Every sin against Almighty God, and acknowledge them to Jesus. Confess your guilt to him. Repent until you feel that you've repented. Believe until you feel that you believe. Love him until you feel that you love him. There's my question to you. Not are you religious, you're all religious, I know that. Do you love Jesus? Because if you don't love Jesus, you're going to hell. Turn, or you'll burn. If a man does not repent, God will wet his sword. So Christ is the means, you see, by which a man or woman repents. You must look to him. Look, all ends of the earth, he says, to me and be saved, because he alone can save you. And I tell you, whatever the depth of your sin, wherever you've been sleeping, whoever you've been sleeping with, however disgusting and vile they might be, and however many they might be, I tell you, there is no depth of sin deeper than the grace of God and Jesus. Oh, there's grace, there's pardon, there's love to be had. Believe me, love such as you've never known and experienced before outside of Jesus. Cast yourself upon him. What have you got to lose? You've got your soul to lose for all eternity if you don't. Cast yourself upon him. He himself declares that he will never, never turn anyone away who comes to him sincerely seeking for repentance and faith. His love, his grace is deeper than all your sin. And that's why, you see, he gives us this warning that if a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. If you don't turn, you'll burn, he says. He warns you in grace. Good parent warns his or her child, don't they? If you have children, if you see them near the fire or the water, don't you warn them? Don't you lift your voice up? Don't you sometimes threaten them? Why? Because you love them and don't want to see them harmed. God does not want to see you harmed either. His desire is that you should be saved, washed and made clean, and know and experience, enjoy the greatness and the vastness of his love. Well, if you can't take my word for it, maybe perhaps you can take God's word for it. Read for yourself and see that these things are in fact so. It's offered to you, God's written word, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or obligation to you. Of course, you could go one better. You could take God's living word, his son, home with you. Ask him to be your savior. Call upon him while he is near, the Bible says. And he comes so very near to you when the gospel, the good news, is being declared. Any relationship that you begin, how does it begin? You begin by talking to the person. Well, talk to Jesus, tell him about your sin and your need of repentance, and ask him to come into your heart and to make you a new creature in him. Judgment is a reality, but it's God's strange work. He delights in salvation. And I'm sure that Jesus would be delighted to save you this afternoon. Ask him, seek for him, knock on his door until it's opened up to you. If you do, Jesus says, you will get, you will find, the door will be opened up to you. Anyway, God's written word, you want somebody not to pray with you, but to pray for you, I would be very happy to do that. But you'd like a copy of God's word? I'll be gone in just a few seconds. You'd like one? Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.